Today is November 2nd, 2011. I'm William Leidig, and we're here today in Cole's library with Linda Bryant. Where were you born and raised?
Well, I was born in Kansas City. I was raised in St. Joseph, Missouri.
Where did you attend high school?
In St. Joseph Central High.
How did you happen to decide upon Drake?
Like you, a program that was here, I was interested in organ performance and church music, and Russell Saunders, who is still a very revered name, was here at the time.
Did you have definite career aspirations, and what were they?
Yes, definitely. I was interested in a career as a full-time church musician, organ performance and teaching and anything related to organs.
What can you remember about moving into a dorm and your first week of classes?
First, it was pretty hot, and we had to lug all of my stuff up to the third floor of Carpenter Hall. So that was kind of a big deal. We also had to go through an orientation week in which we were required to wear blue and white beanies, and upperclassmen could stop you and, you know, harass you a little bit. So it was kind of intimidating to be here first, and it was very obvious that you were a newcomer on campus, and so it was a little bit intimidating.
Do you recall a favorite professor? Who and why?
Yeah, Russell Saunders and Carl Stablin both were my organ professors, and as I said earlier, I came here to study with Russell Saunders, and at the end of my sophomore year, he accepted a position at the Eastman School of Music, and I was absolutely devastated. I cried for and cried and cried, and I didn't want to come back to Drake, and all kinds of things, but I did, and he was replaced by Dr. Carl Stablin, who proved to be a jewel of a teacher, and I still have a very warm relationship with him. And it all worked out just fine. But those are the two professors who really are outstanding in my memory.
Did you feel you were prepared for Drake? Why and why not?
Yes and no. I was pretty well prepared academically in terms of English classes that I had to take and those sorts of things. But when it came to the music department, I discovered that I wasn't as well prepared as I had hoped, as I thought I was. My high school training and my private piano study and all of this had left some pretty big gaps that didn't necessarily get filled while I was here either, because I don't think any of us realized that they were there. It really wasn't until I was kind of out teaching on my own that I realized there were some things that we hadn't quite discovered were issues that I needed to deal with. So I've tried to deal with those since I left Drake.
What were some events that you attended that were particularly memorable?
I remember a recital by Pierre Cochereau of France, who at that time was one of the great performers. President Sharp was installed while I was here, and I have some recollection of that. I enjoyed going to a lot of the football games and things like that, too. Drake Relays was always fun.
What were Drake Relays like at that time?
Not terribly different from what they are now, except they weren't as big, and of course we didn't have the facility that we have now. for that. So, but there still were big names at the time who came.
What rules did you have to follow to live in the halls?
They were, by today's standards, pretty strict. And in fact, even at that time, we thought they were pretty strict. We had a house mother who really kept close tabs on where we were. We had curfew hours during the week. I believe it was 9:30 or 10 o'clock, something like that. And I know that as a music major, we had to attend a lot of recitals, and often that was a problem because they would, by the time the recital started and ended, and getting back to the dorm by curfew was sometimes a bit of a challenge. As far as having contact with male friends in the dorm, we were limited to the lounge area, the public area. We had room checks, and I remember at one point getting reprimanded a little bit for having too much trash in my wastebasket, which seemed pretty trivial to me, and I think it was. But it was a very strict time. We also had dress codes. We could not wear pants in the dining hall or in class. We could wear them in the dorm itself, but if you're going to eat or you're going to go to class, you had to wear a skirt, unless it was zero, and then we could wear pants if it was zero. So it was, you know, it was a different time. I think there was a lot more of the parental oversight kind of view about what we were about here. So it was a different time.
What were the rules that you had to follow in the sorority house?
Well, I didn't actually live in a sorority house. Mu Phi Epsilon, which I belonged to, but it did not have a house.
Okay.
So I lived in dorms through my junior year, and I lived in an apartment my senior year.
Which dorms did you live in?
Carpenter, and then I was here over the summer, two summers, because I had a position that was a year-round kind of thing, and I think I was in, what's the one that's next to Carpenter that starts with an H?
Harriet.
I was in Harriet for a summer, I think. And
that's where we are.
Yeah.
Tell me about
Mu Phi Epsilon. As a professional sorority, it was entrance requirements had to do, I mean, we were all music majors, either music education or performance majors or something big to do with music. We did a lot of service projects that often involved things like going to nursing homes and or hospitals and doing music programs. And It helped us to, as far as giving us more performance opportunities. We sponsored recitals. Doing them ourselves, we had to perform. A lot of camaraderie, a lot of fun, but we didn't live together on a floor or in a dorm or anything else. It was more like a club kind of thing than it was a sorority in the sense that you think of a sorority as being.
Other than the sorority, what other activities or groups were you involved in?
I was particularly involved in the campus ministry program here. In fact, that's where I met my husband. And there are several other couples that came out of that group of us there that we're still connected with. There was a house over by the little round chapel back behind it where the campus ministry was housed at that time. And we had study groups and ate over there on Sunday nights when we didn't have meals in the dorm. I don't know if that's still the case or not, but there were no, I don't know what the college, the university expected us to do for Sunday dinner, but it wasn't offered in the dorm. And so we often ate over there on Sunday nights, and it was just kind of a gathering place for a lot of my friends. And
what activities did you do off campus?
Not a lot. Not a lot, really. One of the things you have to understand, I don't know if it's still true for music majors, but at that point, we were practicing, at least in as a performance major, we had to practice 3 to 4 hours a day. I had a church position that required Wednesday night rehearsals and Sunday two services, and so that took a lot of extra time. We had a organ master class once a week that didn't show up on our class schedule in addition to all the classes, hours, and all that. It was just you had to be there, but it didn't show up on your schedule. We had to attend 2 recitals a week at least, and we had to be there for the community chorus rehearsal. So all of these things, you know, and plus practicing 3 to 4 hours a day, which was a requirement because we had 2 lessons a week. So extra time, it wasn't a whole lot. And extra energy was kind of in short supply too. So I didn't do a lot of things off campus.
Describe one of your close friendships with another student.
You'll get a kick out of this one, I think. I had my routine down for getting to my 8 o'clock class. And it involved having a friend of mine who was a med tech major. She has been at Mercy Hospital here ever since she graduated. And anyway, so we still are in touch with each other. But the deal was that at 7:20 in the morning, she called me on the phone in the hall. And I could get out of bed, I could shower, I could get dressed. I had this all laid out. And have breakfast and get to class by 8 o'clock. Had it figured out. So 40 minutes. So that was just one kind of silly little thing that we did, but that was one thing. Another of my Oregon colleague friends is a little bit older than I am. She was working on finishing her master's when I came in as a freshman. And so she was one of those people that I looked up to and said, I'll never be able to do what she does. I did, but at that time it seemed impossible. And we are still very close friends. We see each other, go out to lunch, and a lot of things now that I've moved back to Iowa. So I think the professional side, Cheryl was not a music major. She was, as I said, she was in med technology. So she was a real close friend outside of my major area and still is.
Could you share a special memory about dating or social sporting event?
Sporting event? I don't know about a sporting event, about dating. As I said earlier, I met my husband here. In fact, our campus minister at that time, I think, kind of threw us together. I was here a year before he came. He transferred in as a junior, and so I was beginning my sophomore year. And we were getting ready to get a dinner together over at the campus ministry house. And Gene had popped in there. He was a pre-ministerial student. And so he had popped in there. And Wayne, I had a car. So Wayne sent us off to the grocery store together to get groceries to fix the meal that evening. And that was how we met. And, you know, that's kind of the beginning of that story.
I'm sorry, I think I worded that.
But that's not a sporting event.
A special memory about a social, or about dating a social or sporting event.
Well, that's how I met my husband. Okay. We've been married for almost 43 years now, so anyway. So that would be, and he proposed to me at the end of the bridge to Carpenter Hall.
Was that a pond at that time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a pond.
Did you attend any sporting events?
I went to some of the football games and I think a few basketball games. I enjoyed, you know, watching, going to sporting things. But that was when I had a little spare time.
What was happening in the rest of the world while you were here at Drake?
Oh my gosh.
That left an impression on you.
Oh, well, Vietnam, for one thing, was going on big time. And one event I remember passionately for several reasons was the day that Martin Luther King Jr. was shot, because Jean and I had tickets to go hear Itzhak Perlman, a very young Itzhak Perlman, perform. I don't remember if it was, I think it was at Vets Auditorium, but I'm not, someplace downtown. And I remember just being devastated by that event. And of course, Mr. Perlman walks with the hand cane thing because he's sort of paralyzed. And he came out on stage and he said, you know, I'm going to change my program tonight because of what happened. And, you know, it was just such an emotional kind of thing. Jean teases me and says that I spent the Vietnam War in a practice room, which isn't too far from the truth. But so I wasn't involved in it in terms of any of the demonstrations.